Army has a wardrobe problem. For years, the service has tried to improve its camouflage uniforms, but the process has been plagued by problems financial, technical, and political. Meanwhile, the Army's PEO soldier unit is developing armor, helmets, and other equipment for warfighters, and not just within the Army. Colonel Robert Mortlock is the program manager for the Army's Soldier Protection and Individual Equipment, and he joins us for an update on all of these programs. Good morning.
Good morning.
So first, let's tackle this camouflage strategy. It seems like it's been there for years. Give us a quick update.
Thank you. I'd be glad to do that. Camouflage, as you know, is very important to a soldier's mission. It provides concealment, and we're committed to getting this right. If you think about force protection, that's what camouflage provides. You can think of it as a layered approach. And the outer layer is situational awareness. The inner layer is personal protective equipment like body armor. And in between is concealment. And that's what camouflage provides. And that's why we're so committed to getting it right as we go forward for our soldiers.
Now, camouflage has been around a long time. In fact, it's become a fashion piece nowadays. What are you looking at as you go forward in this whole area of concealment? What's different in the 21st century that wasn't learned, you know, in a century ago?
Well, that's a good question. And so what we've done over the past several years is we've embarked on the most extensive camouflage uniform camouflage testing program in ever. And we've accumulated all that data. We've studied all the Army's military operating environments. And we were able to have different camouflage patterns in different environments and study how well soldiers can detect those camouflage patterns and how well those camouflage patterns allow a soldier to blend into its background. So all that data has been analyzed and presented to Army leadership, and as we go forward, that's what we continue to do.
So right now you're waiting for Army leadership to give a yay or a nay on any particular pattern that you've presented?
Right now the Army's studying all its options. The recently passed FY14 National Defense Authorization Act did put some restrictions on the Army. Basically, we're only permitted to adopt patterns that are currently in existence, or if we adopt another pattern, all the services have to adopt that pattern. So right now, the Army is going back and it's studying all the existing patterns that we have, and we'll be presenting all that data to Army leadership later this year.
We're going to talk about the body armor and some of the other issues in just a moment. Just a final question on the camouflage. Does the switch over, it used to be like blobs of color. Now it's like little tiny squares that when you stand back, they look like blobs. Does that enable greater agility in changing the pattern on the part of the people manufacturing the clothing?
Yes, sir. And as we find in our testing, as you get further away from a soldier, as you try to detect or blend, it's more about how the pattern, the colors in the pattern, and how those colors match its background. So as you get past 50 meters, you really can't tell the particular pattern. It's all about the colors in that pattern and how well it matches the background, really.
So, meanwhile, you, as I mentioned earlier, you're working with the other services on some joint projects. Do you normally do this, and is this a ramping up, or if not, what is different about these initiatives this time around?
We work closely with our sister services. First of all, soldier safety is the number one priority. And then after we get, so all our equipment is rigorously tested to commit to that soldier safety. It's all based on feedback from soldiers, and then we have a collaborative approach. So all of our programs, we work with our joint partners from the U.S. Marine Corps, Navy, Air Force, and Coast Guard. And if we have initiative or a program, the first thing we do is we look at the other services to see if they have equipment or capability that the Army could take advantage of. So that obviously saves us in research and development dollars or testing dollars if we could adopt something from the other services first.
We're speaking with Colonel Robert Mortlock. He's program manager for the Army's Soldier Protection and Individual Equipment. And so let's move on to some of the individual items. I guess you're working with other other of the uniformed forces to look at the top, the part that covers the soldiers' melon, mainly the helmets. What's going on there?
Yes. Right now we have a joint program with the Marine Corps. It's called the Enhanced Combat Helmet. The Marine Corps is the lead for that program. So we jointly develop that with the Marine Corps. We jointly test it. And then we jointly certify that. So that allows us to collaborate in all the research and all the testing. And then both Marines and soldiers that are deploying downrange to Afghanistan will eventually get the enhanced combat helmet.
So with your projects in general, roughly, how much of the time can you look at another service and say, what they're doing is similar enough so that we can take it and we can put it on our soldiers, or we can modify it slightly and put it on our soldiers, versus when you really have to start from the ground up?
Most of the time. I'd say 90% of the time, we can find anything we develop, either a piece of clothing or a piece of protective equipment, another service either has it, or as we go forward, they're involved in the program. And that's true throughout our protective equipment and our clothing lines. Our improved outer tactical vests, the Air Force uses them right now. The enhanced small arms protective inserts, or that's our ballistic hard armor plates. All the services use the same hard armor plates. Our pelvic protection systems that are protecting soldiers in the genital region against fragmentation and debris and dust and infection, all the services use those same protective pelvic protection systems.
And I gather that because of the budget constraints that the military is facing, well, that the whole government is facing, these types of joint ventures become even more important, and also Congress is paying more attention to it, as we've seen with this camouflage controversy.
Yes, that's true. Anytime that we can leverage the testing and the development of a sister service, we do that. That provides great efficiency throughout the program.
All right, so what's ahead? What are your top priorities for the next few months or few years with respect to what it is that we envelop uniformed service members with?
So on the protective side of the house, the Army's top priority is a system called the Soldier Protective System, and that's an ensemble of a helmet, a ballistic vest, and ballistic inserts, and that program has heavy Marine Corps interest. Marine Corps systems are participating in that program as we go forward, and that program is a modular system where the soldier can tailor his ensemble to the mission. So it can either be tailored up to provide full ballistic protection if the mission dictates, or it can be tailored down to provide lesser protection if more mobility is required by the soldier. So the key part of that is modularity and scalability and tailorability of the system, and that has joint interest in it. And on the clothing side of the house, as we just talked about it, it's camouflage. And as we go forward, we are testing and looking at all the sister camouflage patterns so that when we go forward and we adopt a camouflage pattern or a family of camouflage patterns, it will involve the sister services' existing camouflage patterns.
And speaking of sisters, of course, more women are moving into combat roles. That's part of the policy that the Pentagon is pursuing. So does that complicate matters, because you have to make armor plates and so forth, whatever the gear is, a different shape and different size for women in combat?
The Army is very committed to female-specific protective equipment. We just recently are fielding the first female improved outer tactical vest, and that's specifically designed to take into account the smaller statured soldiers, specifically females, and that is going out to every soldier. Every female soldier going downrange to Afghanistan is getting a female IOTV right now.
So that's happening now. That's a current thing.
Yes, ma'am.
And as the program manager, do you yourself get to see all of these new or modified things like sleeping bags and uniforms and parachutes?
Yes, ma'am.
So let me ask you, which of the ones that you're working on right now is most exciting to you?
Well, it's always fun to jump out of a perfectly good aircraft. So the parachute is a particularly fun line to manage. We this The soldier sleep system is another example where the Army adopted the Marine Corps sleep system. So it's an example where the Marine Corps had already certified a sleep system that works very well for Marines, and the Army had a capability gap, and we simply adopted their Marine Corps system.
So the sleep system is like sleeping bags and whatever else you use to...
The sleep system, yes, sir. The sleep system consists of four parts. It's an outer garment, and then a cold weather part, and then a bivouac sack, and then a compression bag. So the Marine Corps had already adopted that, and the Army is going to adopt the Marine Corps system.
And do you, with things like that, do you foresee that future needs are going to be different from current needs, given the fact that the operations in Afghanistan and earlier in Iraq are scaling down, and we might be more involved in, say, East Asia or the Arctic in the coming years?
This is very important. And as we go through, we always try to balance protection versus what we call mobility. And protection usually adds more weight to a soldier, and mobility less weight. So we balance that. But what it points to is when we develop systems, we have to develop them in a modular fashion and a scalable fashion so that a mission commander can tailor his equipment to whatever mission he is, so he has in front of him. So if we're faced with missions in the Asian Pacific region, we have equipment now developed to be modular enough that the commander can tailor that equipment to that mission.